Are you gonna start? All right, we're gonna try that again. It's now 7:20 and we're calling together the joint special meetings of the KFPD and the KPPCSD. My name is Alexandra Aquino-Fike, the president of the KPPCSD Board of Directors. We have on Zoom 60 participants who are very patiently and graciously waiting. We're sorry for the technical difficulties. Let's get started though. Linnell, could you do roll call again for KPPCSD?
Director Duggan?
Here.
Director Hassai?
Here.
Vice President Goff?
Here.
Director Spat?
Here.
And President Aquino?
Here.
Thank you. And I will call to order this special meeting of the Kensington Fire Protection District Board of Directors. It's Monday, April 24th, 2023 at 7:21 p.m. Director Domer?
Here.
Director Levine?
Here.
Director Nagel?
Here.
Director Watt?
Here.
And I'm Julie Stein, and I'm here. And I'll pass back to Alexandra.
Thanks, Julie. We are going to start with opening the floor for director comments. I want to welcome everyone for taking time out of their Monday evening. This is a really exciting and educational event for us as a community. I'm thrilled and honored to have Luann Teixeira, the ED for LAFCO, joining us. Luann, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. That's really only my comment, that I'm here to learn, and I'm excited to find hopefully new avenues to end the dysfunction in Kensington and make a more unified government. And I know there's various ways to do it, but that is my end goal, is to find a way to bring us together to make an efficient government. Any other directors on the KPPCSD side like to make? Director Goff?
Yes, thank you, President Aquino-Fike. Thank you all for attending. Thank you especially to Luann for being here, so graciously giving of her time. And not only tonight, but previously, she's had conversations with Director Levine and myself and been so lovely to work with and helpful. And I know that we'll all learn a lot from her tonight. So I just encourage everyone to listen with an open mind. I think many of your questions and concerns will get answered tonight. And I'm like President Aquino-Fike, I'm just thrilled that we're hopefully at the start of this journey, and look forward to potential next steps. We'll see.
Director Duggan?
If I do nothing else as a board director than achieve consolidation with my fellow directors here, I will be happy. This is the way to better government and coordination and transparency. Thank you to all the many people who are here, and that's all I have to say.
Director Spath.
Thank you, Madam President. Having worked in this area since about 2015, looking at the possibility of consolidation, I certainly have concluded that it's the best form of government going forward, the most efficient form for Kensington. And I hope we all can learn a lot from Luann this evening and move the ball forward. Thank you.
Director Hassai.
Thank you. I want to thank Luann. I can't imagine the umpteenth presentation she's given to Kensington on this issue. And I think the conditions are ripe for actual steps forward.
I also want to thank Luann again for the many times that we've communicated by email and phone leading up to this meeting. I also want to thank the community. I understand that there's a wide range of familiarity in the community between, I have studied this issue since 2015 and I just heard about this meeting a few weeks ago. So I appreciate everyone coming out to get on the same page and try to have a more transparent collective discussion about this, as opposed to dribs and drabs of it leaking out over the course of various years and from various other organizations. The the authoritative source for this is Luann and the direction from these boards. So I look forward to all of us getting on the same page together and finding out whether or not this is or is not something that we want for a community.
I think for some of the same reasons I'm looking. Oh, I thought I'm. So I'm looking forward to this. I mean, it's not the first time this has come up, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And I look forward to hearing how that all gets put together and be interesting.
Great. And for the public, we're going to ask you to hold your comments and questions until after Luann's presentation. I think you'll have better questions or it'll be more relevant to you. So with that, Luann, we're going to turn it to you. Again, Luann is the executive director of LAFCO, and she's holding up. Yes, we're taking care of that. Thanks, Luann. Okay, Luann, I think you're good to go.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Happy to join you. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person. So there have been lots of questions the past year, and I just want to maybe start a little bit for those that aren't familiar with LAFCO, give you kind of a little intro to LAFCO. We were formed in 1963 in response to issues in California like population growth and public service, local control, community identity. We're unique to California. There are 58 LAFCOs, one in each county. We're an independent agency and we're quasi-legislative. We derive our authority from the California Government Code. And we're also subject to state laws like the Brown Act, CEQA, and the Political Reform Act. The legislature directs us to encourage orderly and logical boundaries and discourage urban sprawl, preserve agricultural land and open space, and promote efficient public services. So who are we? Contra Costa LAFCO, we have 11 commissioners. I have 11 bosses. We have two county members, two city members, two special district members, one public member, and we have one alternate in each category. Of the 58 LAFCOs, 30 have special district representation on their LAFCOs. And in my opinion, it's important to have full representation. Special districts contribute very much to Contra Costa LAFCO and to other LAFCOs. When a commissioner is seated on LAFCO, they're not representing their agency, they're representing the county as a whole. And we have a great group of commissioners on LAFCO. We have two full-time employees. We do contract with the county and with private firms for various services. We adopt an annual budget, and we're funded by the county, the cities, and the special districts. We have 19 cities, and we have 40 independent special districts and the county that fund our budget. We also use, I might have mentioned, contract services and private firms, and of course the county. We use the county for various services, legal, our auditing firm, our funds are in the county treasury. So we use a lot of county services. So what exactly do we do? That's a question we're asked a lot. We establish these outer boundaries called spheres of influence for cities and districts. We create new cities and districts. We change city and district boundaries. We reorganize local agencies. We do these comprehensive studies called municipal service reviews. They cover a range of issues, including growth and population, present and planned capacity of services and facilities, financial capacity, shared resources, and accountability. And both of the Kensington districts have participated in our municipal service reviews. the MSRs covering the Community Services District did identify reorganization and consolidation as a governance option. We understand that there may be some interest in possibly reorganizing or consolidating the two districts who serve the same community. We understand that there have been meetings and discussions and lots of questions. I'm going to try to differentiate the difference between consolidation and reorganization. Consolidation involves the uniting of two or more cities or two or more districts. In response to some of the questions from the Kensington districts, I recently polled my fellow LAFCOs and learned that consolidation is used very infrequently. And I can tell you that since formation of Contra Costa LAFCO in 1963, that this LAFCO has approved 9 consolidations. And the last one was in 2002, which consolidated 3 small, essentially volunteer fire districts into 1 new fire district, which was East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. And last year, Contra Costa County Fire Protection District applied to LAFCO to annex East Contra Costa Fire Protection District and dissolve the East County Fire District. And so this LAFCO did approve that, and it was a successful consolidation. Also, on a personal note, in my 24 years of LAFCO work with Alameda and Contra Costa LAFCOs, I've never processed a consolidation, only reorganizations, dissolutions, incorporations of cities, formations of districts, most other types of activities, annexations, detachments, but not a consolidation. So if there's a decision to go down that path, we'll all be learning it together. Another option for reorganizing is called a reorganization, and that involves 2 or more changes of annexation, such as annexation and dissolution. Again, that's what we did with the Con Fire, East County Fire. And reorganization is used commonly throughout the state. Since 1963, Contra Costa LAFCO has approved hundreds of reorganizations. And as I mentioned, we just did one last year with the 2 fire districts. LAFCO is aware that the Kensington community is exploring these options, and in 2022, LAFCO staff participated in a Kensington community meeting regarding these options. And since then, we see there's been ongoing discussion and many questions. And I'd like to cover some of the key issues raised by the community and some of the board members, including potential benefits of consolidating and reorganizing, and a little bit about the LAFCO process and timeline. So potential benefits and outcomes, the districts serve nearly the same territory. The CSD has 1 additional parcel than the fire district. Some of the benefits of reorganizing or consolidating include economies of scale, including board members, staff, and operational efficiencies. Another outcome of the consolidating or reorganizing would be a shared board of directors. As you know, a CSD board has 5 members, and if the reorganization occurred, the new district or the reorganized district would be a CSD. And so what happens there is that the board may temporarily, pursuant to CSD law, have 7, 9, or 11 board members. And upon the expirations of those terms, then you eventually get back to 5 board members. That's how that works. The application to LAFCO can be submitted by either a petition of registered voters or landowners, or by 1 or more of the affected districts. And if both districts submit substantially similar resolutions applying to LAFCO, then LAFCO shall approve the consolidation or the reorganization. LAFCO can initiate a consolidation as well, in accordance with the municipal service review or a special study. Both processes are fairly complex and can take anywhere from 6 to 8 months and sometimes longer to complete. With either type of application, consolidation or reorganization, We would need a plan for services and a fiscal analysis that the new or the reorganized district would be financially viable. The LAFCO process typically involves a minimum of one hearing. If we have any protests from landowners or voters up to and including the first hearing, then we hold a second hearing called a protest hearing. I think I mentioned the terms and conditions that LAFCO can impose when they approve a reorg or a consolidation. And again, those range from taxes, special taxes, existing taxes, employee benefits and rights, terms relating to contracts and bonds, and other obligations. LAFCO also sets the effective date of the reorganization or consolidation. There are several checkpoints throughout the LAFCO process, including the 30-day reconsideration, and at certain points in the LAFCO process, an application can be withdrawn. And so I'm going to stop there. It's just kind of a brief overview of LAFCO and the consolidation and reorganization aspects. And so I'd like to open it up for questions or in comments.
Thank you so much, Luann. First, we'll take board comments or questions. I just have one question to start. You seem to outline, I think, two or three avenues to unify two districts. One of them was consolidation, which in Contra Costa has only been done 9 times, I understand. And the other, you said, was reorganization. Which I'm not quite sure I understood if that has to involve dissolution. And I don't know if there was a third. So if you could just repeat those three or two options.
Yes, and there were two, the reorganization and the consolidation. And the reorganization would involve the CSD annexing the fire district, and then the fire district would then be dissolved. The CSD would also have to apply to LAFCO to activate their latent power to provide fire service. That's a fairly simple process.
Okay, thank you. Director Duggan?
So if we were to go the reorganization route, would we potentially lose any of our current two districts' tax revenue?
You know, I'm probably, I'm guessing that no, but that question would be more directed to the county auditor, the county auditor's office.
Luann, can I jump in for a second?
Yes.
On your recommendation that we reach out to the county auditor's office, I did ask them about both consolidation and reorganization, and the county auditor's office told me that they are the same from their perspective. That in the case of a consolidation, the successor district would count as the successor district, obviously, to both organizations, and that in the event that fire service was no longer being supplied by the KFPD because it was dissolved and new KCSD was taking it on, then the KCSD would be termed the successor district for the KFPD. Some correspondence. I'll post that correspondence also on the website. So I just got a confirmation from him that not from Bob directly, but from someone in his office that they're the same.
Okay, thanks.
Director Levine, did they talk about the tax question though?
Yeah, specifically the shorthand was the gist of it was if the KFPD and KPPCSD no longer exist, and there is a new organization that fulfills all of their services automatically, all of their taxes, duties, rights, and everything transfers immediately. The County Board of Supervisors has to be notified, and they could object to us combining, I suppose. But the process is automatic. There's not like a discretionary phase of like, oh, you only get some of it. Apparently all of it would go. But the County Board of Supervisors has to be just notified and assent to us reorganizing.
Got it. Thank you. Director Spath.
A couple questions, Luann, and it's nice to see you again. And thank you for doing what you're doing here. A couple questions. If the dissolution occurs, does the KPP-CSD, that is the police district, have to make the proposal to expand the board to 7, 9, or 11 members as part of the proposal?
No, I don't believe so. I think that automatically happens, is it can go to 7, 9, or 11. And I would assume that the two boards would agree on a number. It probably depends a little bit on terms, expiration dates of terms of office. But that's typically automatic. And then again, through the expiration of terms, you would go back to 5 board members. And that's in the CSD law. That's not in the LAFCO law.
Another question has to do, I understand that even though it looks like we could get our property taxes transferred, the Board of Supervisors has a negotiating role with regard to representing the districts with regard to the property tax issue. Could you clarify that?
You know, that's probably in the Revenue Tax Code. I think that's probably a question for the auditor's office.
Okay, because I know the auditor in the past has indicated that it's most likely that we would get our property taxes in whole. And I'm presuming also that all these special assessments would come forth as well.
That's my understanding also.
Okay. Well, that's what I have for right now.
Director Goff.
Yes, thank you. Luann, can I just get clarification on a few things? One, to feed off of as an extension to Director Spath's comment. So it's true. Is it true then, whether we do consolidation or the reorganization with a dissolution and annexation, that for a period of time, we would automatically have 7, 9, or 11 board members, no matter which option we pursued?
Yeah, that's my understanding, yes.
Okay. And I know that we've described this meeting as a consolidation meeting, and there's a lot of talk of consolidation. And I guess one of the things I'm learning in preparation for this meeting is that there are these various routes for reorganizing the government, and really the heart, and I think the interest from the community is in combining the two boards so we have a unified government in some way. And what is the most reasonable, sensible way to go about that? And I noted that you said that the Contra Costa LAFCO has done hundreds of reorganizations and only a few consolidation. Is there a reason for that typically?
Well, you know, when I floated the question to my fellow LAFCO EOs, it's a complicated process, and it's, I think, a little bit antiquated, and so that's why the
consolidation process, sorry, versus reorganization.
Yes, the consolidation process. So reorganization seems to be the more popular and I think somewhat easier approach.
Right, and is that what would be recommended for Kensington, reorganization?
Well, I hate to just recommend something, but it does seem to be the most common approach to combining districts.
Great. But the effect is essentially the same.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was one of my questions that I was hoping you could shed light on, because I've read a lot of laws, government codes in the last couple of months preparing for this. And what is there any functional difference between a consolidation and a dissolution annexation in the sense that right now we are two special districts and at the end we will be one special district that's a CSD, and other than that, and that's it, right? There's no functional difference after that. It has the same combined board members and the same taxes and the same process, except that no one knows how to do the first one and everyone knows how to do the second one.
Correct.
Okay.
Director Spath.
a question with regard to boundaries. As I understand it, there's only a slight difference between the sphere of influence of the police district versus the fire district. So do you think there would be any boundary issues associated with either a dissolution or a consolidation?
No, it's one parcel. And so, with either approach, consolidation or reorganization, it'll be a community service district. That's the district that will continue because they can provide multiple services.
And that the boundaries are essential because the services are basically provided within the same boundary, with the exception of a very small plot of land that East Bay Mud has. Otherwise, it's virtually the same. So you wouldn't see any problem with that whatsoever.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Duggan.
So as to the number of board members, do you have a recommendation for us as to how many board members you think we should retain? 11 versus 9. I mean, to me, it seems best to, keep all the current board members. But one of the really interesting issues, if you think about it, is that that means we would not have elections for probably like 4 years, unless some board members happen to resign, because only in 2 years we'd lose four, and then maybe we'd have an election in 4 years. And is that fair to the public to not have a chance at turnover of board members, because then we kind of become this little oligarchy or something? I don't know. Any comments on that?
Well, given that I believe all the board members on both districts have 4-year terms, so you consolidate and you're going to have, you need to get down to 5 at some point. And so as terms expire, then those board members would drop off the board. They could certainly run again for election, but they would drop off the board. And I think by the time that happened, then you'd have the 5 existing board members, some of whom maybe their terms have also expired and they've had to run for their seat. But I think through kind of attrition, you would get down to the 5. And then when those 5 members, when their terms come up, then of course they would have to run for re-election.
Director Hussain.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about the 5, because you said we'd be 7, 9, or 11, but I guess why is 5 a magic number, or could the new CSD be organized with a slightly larger board ultimately?
No, CSD law provides for 5.
Okay,
for 5
that's members. It. Thank you.
Let me ask another question.
Director Spath.
Yeah, Luann, I know that there has to be a municipal service review done and a fiscal analysis. Would you recommend that the same firm do both of those?
I don't know that you need to do a municipal service review. You do need to do a fiscal analysis and have a plan for service.
Okay. So you wouldn't necessarily have to do a full-blown MSR?
No.
For this purpose. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your presentation, Luann. I wanted to ask a simple question. Are you aware of any community service districts that run both a police department and a fire department?
I'm not at the moment, but I can float that question. I did float a question about CSDs that provide police, and I probably got maybe 4 or 5 responses. Not all the LAFCOs respond, but so it was more than I thought. It was 4 or 5, I think. But I'm certainly happy to float that question.
I guess a follow-up question. We could probably accomplish the same goal by having the Contra Costa Fire District annex the Kensington Fire Protection District, and then we would have just a community service district and let the county take care of the fire protection. Is that as they did in East County? That was extremely successful. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to talk to Chief Brichard about that.
Larry, I can't answer your question. There are community services districts that have both fire and police, and I can give you those names if you'd like sometime.
Sure.
I said there are special districts that provide both fire and police. So if you'd like to know who they are, I'm more than happy to. But yeah, Mountain House right out not too far from us is one example of it. Well, in the state of California.
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. But anyways, there are examples of it.
Director Duggan.
Larry, I'd like to point out that if Kensington were to lose its fire district, the fire district gets a higher proportion of property taxes. It gets 30% of Kensington's property taxes, and thus, you know, our municipality would lose the control over a lot of the money that, you know, we pay in and that we need to keep our community safe. And I really feel we all can work together and we need to work together on, you know, I mean, as many people have pointed out, in an emergency, the people handling the evacuation, well, from a, say, a wildfire, are the police, not the fire. The fire is fighting the fire. So we need to have all of our plans well coordinated so everybody is working together. And I think we can do that best, you know, by keeping it local and keeping control. So that's my opinion.
The evacuation would be run by the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Department. We don't have the staff to do a full-scale evacuation in Kensington.
But the police are in charge of Kensington evacuation. I've heard that multiple times. Well, we do have a police force, and yeah, okay, we won't get into that.
Any other comments or questions from
the? Just thinking about CONFIRE and the KFPD would also be interesting. We definitely would have to discuss that heavily with CONFIRE because, of course, we have the El Cerrito contract. Presumably, they would not want to take over the El Cerrito contract. So there's that issue, and then there's a bunch of fiscal ramifications for breaking the El Cerrito contract. So it might be a very expensive way of getting fire service if the KFPD were to cease to exist and devolve its power to CONFIRE.
I think it's a possibility we should explore. That's all.
Director Goff.
So I guess that's a good segue to another question about what would happen with our existing contracts of each district. So for example, KPPCSD with KCC and El Cerrito fire contract. What happens with the either scenario, consolidation or reorganization?
CSD would be the successor agency, and they would assume all contracts, assets, and liabilities.
Thank you.
I guess just to play devil's advocate, do you see there to be a particular downside to Kensington Fire Protection District and KPPCSD consolidating or reorganizing in some capacity?
You know, that's really a question for the community.
And sure. I meant from your perspective, from a government perspective, government, county, municipal service.
We've had some very successful reorganizations, you know, with annexations and dissolutions recently. So they've been very successful.
Okay, thank you.
Director Duggan.
And in the past, LAFCO has recommended consolidation for Kensington, right?
It was, identified as a governance option in a couple of our municipal service reviews. I don't recall if it was recommended, but it was identified as an option.
Director Spath.
Luann, practically speaking, how long would you see this process to take to come to completion? Are you looking at a year, 2 years, any idea?
Probably 6 to 12 months. And I will add that if both districts adopt resolutions of application to LAFCO, if both districts are on board, then the LAFCO law provides that LAFCO shall approve the reorganization. So there's not an option for the commission. They shall approve it. LAFCO can include terms and conditions, but it would be approved.
Are there any more questions from Director Duggan?
I just want to make the comment to our community here and online that the current problems that we're facing in Kensington, where we have a public safety building, where the police were ejected from that building, and the fire district went ahead to build a fire-only firehouse, and the election that happened that basically proved that a lot of Kensingtonians did not support that action, that if we had one joint district, then everything would have been hammered out right here, and we would have made sure we had a plan to house the police before we went ahead with, you know, contracting with a contractor to build a building that was only for fire. So it is really important to consolidate to avoid future problems. That's why I think it's a great idea. You know, it just makes sense. One board comes to one decision, you vote, and then you're done.
I need to correct you. We said they could have the space that was there before. It was theirs. They could take it or leave it. That's the truth. You are off the ball on that. And what happened after that, about that, is they did not have enough space in the existing space. So they started a few years ago to find a bigger space. And that's the way they went. And then all of this has fallen apart again. So space is still a problem. And right now, the building is awfully small.
I want to redirect our attention back to the agenda at hand, which is LAFCO. So let's avoid this debate for tonight. And I disagree with your assessment, and I'm sure you disagree. But we're not going to debate this right now. We're not going to debate this right now. We are here to listen to Luann and learn from Luann. Yes, and I've asked you both. So let's let it go. Okay, my apologies. Move on. It's time to turn to the public and let the public ask questions of Luann. I'm going to just lay out the ground rules. Our GM, David Aranda, interim GM, is going to walk around with a mic. Please raise your hand so he can see you. We are going to have time limits of 2 minutes per person so that everyone can have a chance to ask their question. We will be we'll be writing down your questions and grouping them. We're not going to answer them right away. We're going to let everyone go because there may be similar questions, and then we'll have Luann answer.
Thank you. Please. My name's Kay Reed. I have a series of questions around the consolidation or reorganization process, and that is, I heard Luann say that if both districts apply, it shall happen. That's good news. But does it require a fiscal review and plans? Do there still need to be plans put into place as if there was anyway, that's number one. Number two, I heard someone mention the use of consultants to complete these forms, which I think is a good idea, given that, you know, this is, we'll only have this one rodeo and going to somebody else who has more experience. So I'm curious how much time that would take, because that would be added on to the LAFCO time, I'm assuming, and what would it cost? And if the boards were not able to fund it out of their own general funds, is that something that a community could fundraise for and supply the boards with that money and have it paid for outside the regular budget? Thank you.
I'm David Goldstein. Maybe some of these were answered, but in some cases it wasn't quite clear to me. I have five questions. Does the money we get from the county change at all under either process? Does either process require a resident vote? Which process takes longer? Which process costs more? If all directors stay, how many years out until we're able to elect new board members?
Hello, my name is Andrew Reed. I just want to tell all of you up there how excited I am to see what you're doing and that you've put this meeting together and what it means to me and a lot of people that I know in my neighborhood. I think we saw a little bit of an example tonight about a great reason to proceed with this so that we can act in a unified way. I want to, again, just repeat my thank you, and I want to leave you all with my little thought problem that I've said before in public. I'm going to repeat myself, but maybe some of you haven't heard it. If we were developing a 3,000-home development in Brentwood, what kind of government would we set up? If we could start over again, how would we do it? Would we have a more typical one council, city manager situation, and then that city manager runs services? Or would we have a district for every single thing? I think you know we wouldn't do the latter. So thank you very much. Good luck.
Just a simple question. How many community service districts are there in Contra Costa County?
I just wanted to make a statement, which is that for over 25 years, I've lived in Kensington and have advocated that the two districts consolidate or reorganize together as one unified government body. And really, this is purely for efficiencies of government. As you know, and it's been discussed here previously, that both boards received different funding sources, and we do not have one common pot of money to run the type of services that the community prioritizes. And so one of the reasons to reorganize or consolidate is to give the board the opportunity to have a pot of money that can be used for the services that the community really wants. And I do believe that this community, the board members, would choose those services that are the highest priority for the community, both public safety and now for some park money. So it is really important that we move forward with this. It's taken 25 years of discussion. The Kensington Property Owners Association has brought Luann here many times to inform the public about our what the consolidation would mean. And I'm really happy now that this has come before our elected body. And I really hope that you'll consider discussion about appropriating the funds so that you can do the studies that are necessary before you vote to consolidate the two districts.
Okay, there's one more question here in the audience, and then I think we need to let folks in Zoom ask theirs.
Yeah, thanks. Paul Doro. I believe currently both boards are in the process of seeking applications for permanent part-time general managers? And if that's true, and if it's a 6 to 12 month process to consolidate, I would, I guess, ask Luann if it is sensible to put a pause in that plan, just in case the two boards decide that they want to adopt those resolutions sooner rather than later, so this can happen while they're still in office. Thank you.
Okay, we have a few questions in Zoom. I see Steve Simran, Leslie Reckler, Rick Artis, and Meryl Rafferty. I thought Elaine Stanton also had a question, but now I don't see her. Steve, could you unmute yourself?
Yeah, thank you. I've got actually two questions. And in my brief review of the statute, if the two boards agree to consolidate, then the board, the FICA must approve it unless there's a 25% petition filed by the voters. Is that correct? And my second question is, if instead of consolidation, the boards decide to reorganize, is there a corresponding provision that would allow for a public vote? Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. Leslie, can you unmute yourself? Leslie, are you still on? Can you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having this session. Thank you to all of you for your service. I am very interested in seeing this explored further. I do believe that we can get a lot of economies of scale out of this and simplify our government. So I think that this might be good to continue. Since this has been explored before, I do ask that you go out and find out what the sticking points are and work on those first. Because it didn't continue for reasons, and I'm not sure why, but I'm sure there's a lot of institutional knowledge out there that does know. The second question is, how do you intend to assess community approval of a merger or a consolidation? Is there something official that needs to happen, like a ballot measure or a referendum, or is it done more casually? And then I have questions around consolidation, not so much about salaries, but about CalPERS, health insurance, medical, dental, vacation. Do those need to get standardized? Is there anything out there around those benefits that needs to happen to be standardized if everything comes together? And then I just wanted to make a note about the little conversation that happened about the police building. That should not be discussed tonight. According to the Brown Act, your conversation should only be about consolidation tonight. And then I ask that you think really hard about how to communicate well with the public, both to send out communications and to receive feedback. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Leslie. Rick, can you unmute yourself? Rick, can you
unmute? Yes. Sorry, that it took an extra click.
Apologies. No, we hear you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Luann, for coming to talk to us. It's good to hear your voice and see your face again. I was happy and fortunate to serve as the chair of the consolidation subcommittee when the ad hoc committee did this a review of this particular topic, and I was pretty agnostic going into it. I'll say that that I found many reasons why it seemed to make sense and many roadblocks that raised questions. I think most of them have been dealt with tonight. I know the words shall approve have been emphasized a couple of times if the two boards request this action. And the subject of the 25% protest petition was more obscure back in the day, but I think now my question is, how long and in what forum does the protest petition have to surface? In other words, how long does that protest petition have to be generated as part of the approval process? And when the first hearing comes at LAFCO, does it have to be done by that point or not? And that's really, I think, the nature of my remaining questions.
Thanks, Rick. Meryl, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much. I just am so impressed with the way this meeting is going, that we're having this meeting, how quickly you've brought it together. I want to add my thanks to Andrews and hope that we can continue on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Meryl. Are there any other questions here in the audience? Any other questions in Zoom? Okay. Elaine Stelton, I see your hand. Can you unmute yourself?
Hi, I just once again wanted to thank you for your service. And my question is actually to both boards. You are all volunteers and you contribute so much of your time to this community. And I, for one, am very grateful. I wanted just to ask you, I know you wouldn't be doing, you know, spending double the amount of volunteer hours, but you will be spending more hours. And just, it's just a personal question, whether all of you have the time to take on these two entities, you know, the police and the fire. And just watching you in action, though, you really hit the ground running and really became experts, and on both fire and board, all the new elected officials did a great job and are working very hard. And once again, I appreciate that. Have a wonderful evening and thank you for your service.
So we've gotten a bunch of questions, and Julie, thank you for grouping some of them, and thanks to some of my colleagues here. I've grouped a few too. One area that we heard a couple of questions was the protest petition process. What is it? How does it work? I'm also confused about that. I also heard some questions, Luanna, maybe you can first do the protest one, but then I think folks had questions around confirming that the money we get from the county essentially wouldn't change. And third, I heard a bunch of questions around what needs a vote from the community. Luann, do you want to take some of those? And then I'll come back with more that I heard.
Sure. So the way the protest process works is that LAFCO holds its first public hearing and for the commission to consider, approve, or deny. And if anyone, any registered voter or landowner within the community protests, then we have to go through a formal protest proceeding. And so the commission can approve the proposal, but then we would hold a second hearing called a protest hearing. And there's a range of the time frame. I think it's like 30, you have to hold it within 30 to 60 days after the commission's initial approval. And so that's the time where the petitioners, if there is going to be a movement to protest, they would collect the signatures. Registered voters and or landowners the way that that works is you don't double count. You make two columns. And if either column, landowner or registered voter, exceeds 25%, and we have to have the registered voters verified through county elections, and we have to have the landowners verified through the assessor's office. If either of those exceed 25%, then it goes to an election, and that's where it's a special election, and the applicant would have to pay the cost for that.
And on the tax question, can you help us with that one? Or is that the one that you said we needed to go to the auditor?
You do, because I don't think Kensington has a master tax sharing agreement. And so, but even if you did, that question would be geared to the auditor's office and how the taxes roll out and play out. My understanding on a kind of 30,000 foot level is that the current taxes and assessments for the fire district would roll into the CSD, because the CSD is taking over the services. So, but I would recommend that you talk to the auditor's office about that.
Thank you. And then
Daniel could. Did speak
with her. I'll reiterate what I the conversation that I had with the auditor controller's office. What was sent to me in an email, and I'll post this correspondence on the KPD, and I guess it'll get mirrored on the KPPCSD website, is that given that there is a successor district and that the services currently, there would not be a fire protection district providing services. The key feature is that there's no longer a fire protection district providing services. So given that that disappears, then the resulting CSD is the successor district for services, assuming the CSD is providing fire services, which we're assuming they are. And all of the property taxes that are currently going to the KFPD and the special tax assessment would automatically transfer, assuming both boards assented. And then there'd be a notification sent to the county board of supervisors. The board of supervisors would acknowledge the notification from the KFPD and the KPPCSD that the taxes were being transferred, and that would be the end of it, according to some government codes that Chris Wong and the county auditor controller's office sent me.
Just to follow up, and you might have said this already, but so between the two districts, there are ad valorem taxes for KPPCSD, ad valorem for fire, special taxes for police, special taxes for fire.
Yes, and I think a landscape and lighting.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably not using that, but there's the left hand of my tax bill and the right hand of my tax bill, basically. So the ad valorem in a reorganized or consolidated district, did you say, or do you know, does this mean the ad valorem taxes that were sort of previously allocated separately would all go into one general fund and could be used for any purpose within the district, but the special assessments that had been voted on in the past by each district separately, would that tax revenue remain dedicated to the purpose for which it was originally voted on?
Yes, that's exactly correct. So the ad valorem taxes, which is sort of the general fund of the KFPD and a sizable chunk of the general fund of the KPPCSD, will transfer sort of whole hog to the successor district as a big pot of money. Then there's a fire special tax, which is a voter approved tax from many years ago. It hasn't been changed the 80s, it's about $80. That would stay dedicated to fire services because it is a fire tax. There's a special tax for funding police services that would stay dedicated to police services because it's voter approved as a police special tax. And I think Measure G is also explicitly for police services. So that would also stay devoted to policing services. So I pulled some quick numbers. So the KFPD's budget last year was about $5 million. The KPCSD's budget last year was about $4 million. Of the KPPCSD's budget, about $2 million of it is taxes. And of the KFPD's, virtually all of it is the ad valorem taxes. So there would still be about $100,000 to $200,000 that would be dedicated to policing services per year, and about, $1 to $2 million dedicated to policing services per year, and something like $300,000 devoted to fire services earmarked, can't be used for any other purposes. And then the remaining roughly $8 million would be general fund for the consolidated district to continue its services. Obviously, that isn't, it sounds like a large pot of unrestricted funds, but the El Cerrito contract is about $4 million. So it's not just a giant pile of money floating around. A lot of that is actually spoken for either contractually, which would be maintained, or by voter approved special taxes, which would also be maintained.
Thank you, Director Levine. There were another set of questions. I heard a bunch of questions, Luann, around when would be the next election, theoretically? Should we reorganize or consolidate, given that we all have different terms? Or I don't know if you've seen how other districts that have done this process, how have they handled elections? Can you answer which process is shorter, consolidation versus reorganization? And is there a difference in costs in either process? And thirdly, I've heard some questions around these consultants that we need to hire to help us with the analysis, the fiscal analysis. Does that add time to the timeline you gave us of 6 to 12 months? Or is that
No, you need to do the fiscal analysis prior to applying to LAFCO. So you'd come to LAFCO with the application, the LAFCO application, and a fiscal analysis and a plan for service, and preferably resolutions from both districts that support. It's not required, but it's highly recommended if you have resolutions from both boards supporting the annexation and even applying, you know, being the applicants to LAFCO.
Right. So we really don't actually come to LAFCO until all the financial planning and reviews and all that's worked out. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
In your experience, just a follow-up question on that, how long does that analysis process take in general, or do you have a range?
You know, I don't know, and it really depends on the consultants that you use. I mean, I think the districts could probably prepare the plan for service. The fiscal analysis, depending on who you have on your districts or in your community, you could probably find, you know, someone to do that. We have, I know I've given a short list. I can't make recommendations, but I've given a short list of consultants that are actually do a lot of LAFCO work and are members of our state association, Cal LAFCO. So I can provide a few names for consultants that do this kind of work, that do fiscal studies, and they do plan for services too.
Thanks. And between reorganization and consolidation, do you have a sense of which is shorter, which is costlier?
Because I've never done a consolidation, I've done lots of reorganizations, so I don't know. I mean, I would say the consolidation might take a little longer. I printed out a couple of flowcharts. I think I've sent them to various people, and there's San Diego LAFCO has done a lot of these flowcharts, and so most of us use them. The consolidation flowchart is a lot more extensive and lengthy than the annexation and dissolution flowchart. So that's kind of my short take on those two processes.
Director Goff.
I just want to point out that the flowchart and the fee schedule are in your packets and available online for the agenda.
And we also, I think it's posted, but I had provided to several people a white paper that was done for Cal-LAFCO. It's called Metamorphosis of Special Districts. And I asked our web manager to post it. I'm not sure if it's up yet, but I think it would be under a heading like LAFCO resources or something like that. But it's a very brief white paper, and it's very good. And so if anyone wants a copy, if it's not posted yet, just email me and I'll send it to you.
We're going to post it as well on our website.
Okay, great.
Yes.
One quick question. Thank you for the reference to the flowchart. It says district consolidation. Is this the same process, whether it's consolidation or reorganization?
No, there's another flowchart for reorganization that's floating around out there somewhere.
Yeah, I noticed it was missing too. Apologies about that. We'll make sure it's on the website. Thank you. And then the other question, Luann, was about elections. If you have any thoughts on how this would roll out from given your experience with reorganizations?
I'm trying to think of a reorganization where it went to an election. There was one in Martinez, and it was actually, it was an annexation. I take that back. It was an annexation, not a reorg. So we haven't had many that have gone to an election since I've been here.
I guess I meant, given that we all have, many of us have different terms, how would it work out?
That election. Okay. So again, with the that's in the CSD law. And so it's through term expirations. You could have up to seven, 9, or 11 board members. And they would all continue to serve until their terms expired. Then they would drop off until you get to 5.
Okay. So automatically we would start with the total combined, and then we'd have to.
It's 7, 9, or 11.
Right.
So,
Okay. There was a question on how many CSDs in Contra Costa County. Do you happen to know?
Yes, there are 6. There will likely soon be 5. The Knights in CSD has applied to LAFCO to be dissolved, and that'll be on our May 10th agenda.
The other K-Town. I'm sorry, could you repeat which one?
The Knightson Town Community Services District. They were formed in 2005 and to do drainage and flood control, and they really didn't have a lot of funding. They had a special tax, but they kept it at $50 a year. And as you probably know, flood control and drainage are very expensive services. So, and then recently in the November election, they abolished the $50 a year tax. So they have no funding now. So it should be a fairly easy decision, because they really have no funding to do a very expensive service.
Leslie, I heard a question around, I don't know if you have any thoughts or guidance, Luann, around the two districts hiring permanent GMs right now. And have you seen two districts who are considering reorganization or consolidation? And what might they do if they're at the same time they're looking for GMs? I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't really.
That's our challenge, I guess.
are you a member of the California Special Districts Association?
Yes, we are. So we'll make sure to use their wisdom, collective wisdom.
Yeah, you can float. We're a member also, and we get questions, emails every day with questions. So, and they also do like job postings and things like that.
Right. Okay, I would like to it back to the board for further questions or discussion among ourselves. Director Watt.
Yes, I have a question. I want to assume a worst case scenario. Right now, we are in the process of spending a lot of our available cash that with the fire district to complete the public safety building. We also have a police board, which is going to have to go out and find a location for the police department, and in the process may have to undertake their own fiscal obligations to obtain more money to do this. The result is that by 2024, we could easily find ourselves in a situation where both boards are strapped for cash, and in fact, maybe in a situation where they have to go out and ask the taxpayer to contribute more money. So I noticed that as part of the process here, it says that a financial analysis will be undertaken. What if that financial analysis indicates that we're going to be in dire straits? How does LAFCO look at that?
Well, I can't speak for my commissioners, but that could be a concern, definitely for LAFCO if the reorganized or consolidated district doesn't have the fiscal means to sustain itself. We've seen, we've had a number of dissolutions in the last 5 years, and that was the cause was fiscal. They were not viable. So they didn't have enough revenue coming in to meet their expenses. And so you certainly wouldn't want to go down the path unless you were certain that you were fiscally viable.
I wanted to address the question, how much additional work would it be for the directors if both districts were combined into one? I did a little research. In 2021, the KPP-CSD had 19 meetings. KFPD had 13 meetings. In 2022, the KPP-CSD had 22 meetings. KFPD had 19 meetings. And so far this year, and we're only a third of the way through the year, KPP-CSD has 6 and KFPD has 8. So clearly there would be at least twice as many meetings for the 5 directors to go to and prepare for. I would guess that the time involved, I'm working now about 15 to 20 hours a week on KFPD business. That time would probably double as well. So you're really looking at full-time directors at if you combine the two boards. I don't know how you're going to pay for them. I know I don't have the available resources to be a director of both boards. I just don't have the time. I still work. Maybe the two people that are retired here will be able to take up the slack. I don't know. Thank you.
If I could just maybe clarify, if the two districts were to consolidate or reorganize, there would be one district, not two. So there would be one district holding its own board meetings, and it would be the CSD, because they can assume the fire services. So it would be one district holding however many board meetings they need to hold.
There'd be twice as much going on at the meeting, right?
Well, it would be one district providing, multiple services. And that's usually the case with community service districts, is they usually don't provide one service. They provide multiple services. A CSD can provide any and all services that a city can provide, except for they don't do land use planning or issue building permits, but they can provide all other services, water, wastewater, park and rec, hospital. They can provide all their services, fire, police, all of that. But the CSDs that I'm familiar with in Alameda and Contra Costa counties, they have a 5-member board and they meet monthly or every other month. So I don't think you'd have twice as many meetings. You'd have a monthly meeting or however often the board chooses to meet.
Also, I just want to point out we spent a lot of time in the last the last KFPD meeting and the last KPP-CSD meeting writing letters to each other. So I'm just saying it's not strictly additive. I wasn't supposed to do an applause line. I'm just saying.
So I hear your questions, Director Nagel, and they're important questions for us to consider. I think we're just at the start of a learning journey, and those are things we're going to have to drill down for ourselves, but also any future folks who want to run. And I'll just say for myself, as a working mom with a full job, you just learn. You learn how to delegate, you learn how to manage your time, and you're experienced at this, but I'm already working a lot, and I ran knowing this. So I'm prepared to roll up my sleeves and do what needs to be done.
Just a follow up to Larry, and I think it's true of both boards. Kensington, maybe unlike other communities, has a group of very involved directors who like to roll their sleeves up. And we have the Emergency Preparedness Committee that I know you spend a lot of time on. And so I think if the culture continues that the directors want to be as involved as they are now, I think your hypothesis could be correct. I think the CSDs maybe that run efficiently with five directors perhaps have a different cultural mindset about the role of a director in running a special district, and they're much more willing to delegate to staff and save their time for policy and meetings. So I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong, but I think there is definitely a uniqueness to Kensington culture that's not going to be captured in any financial analysis. I think it's part of what the directors kind of run for, and part of what some members of the community expect.
And I have a follow-up question. Does either board or both boards have any sort of advisory committees or subcommittees?
Not quite how you're thinking, probably. We have committees, but they have directors on them and some community members. But all of our committees have directors on them.
Okay, thank you.
And may I just comment on the workload? I think what also has to be noted and just restated that it wouldn't be double meetings, it should be at least half the meetings. But also we're dealing with a lot of one-off high intensive issues at the moment. Like, we know all the issues. That will not hopefully always be the case. We also have been in transition, certainly in the KPPCSD, and I know in the KFPD with turnover of GMs and IGMs. And I'll tell you, it makes a wonderful difference to have someone as fantastic as David on our team. And I know, Mary, you're fantastic. And having a really capable staff makes the difference. And I think I speak for myself, I'm happy to move on to just policy and, you know, hand that over.
We did have a finance committee, and we had this great ad hoc committee, which David Spath here chaired. And it would be, I mean, many of us, you know, on the board have discussed the idea of starting up the some committees again. It's a good idea. It's a great way to involve citizens. We have so many educated, involved citizens that we should take advantage of. So I want to outline the exact process of the voting. I wrote this out, okay? So if we start with R10, then we have to appoint one. So, you know, so we'd be an odd number, so votes wouldn't get stuck. So in 2 years, four directors will have their terms end, and then we'd be seven. in 4 years, six more would have their terms end and there'd be one left. So in 4 years, four directors would need to be elected. I got it.
Director Smith.
Let me follow up too with what Luann said earlier. You can expect economies of scale if you consolidate. And you can also expect to have a staff that does a lot more than what is done now. So there won't be as much dependency on board members to take on these roles, at least one more thing. Knowing the board members that I know, however, I know they like to get involved quite a bit on some of these issues. But I think you will see the benefit of having staff who are, should we say, professional staff who can do a lot of the work that the board members are doing right now. I do advocate for committees. The Fire Board has the Emergency Preparedness Committee, of which I am a member, and I certainly laud Larry for all the good work that he's done. And Don now has stepped in as well. And so it's a good example of what committees can do, even if board members participate on them. So I certainly would advocate, if a consolidated district is established, that we have committees that look at finance, look at emergency preparedness, and a variety of issues, and take advantage of the residents and their expertise, because we have a lot of good expertise in here. Theoretically, I guess supposedly we have more PhDs in Kensington, whether that's good or bad. that's the old wives' tale I've heard, anyways.
One more question from the community here in the room.
Hi, Kay Reed. There seems to be a lot of question about how the voting would work and new officers, or would we have any new members? And I was going to ask if this was a possible approach. If there's 10 of you, you add one, now it's 11. The next election comes up, four people, their terms have expired, but there's only two seats, but we only vote on two seats. So those four people can all run for those two seats, or eight more people can jump in and 12 people but there's only two seats. So at the end of that election, now there's nine. The next time there's a thing that comes through, there's four more people. They are up for election or not. They could, but again, there's only two more. So it's not that we are just saying the 10 of you have to serve until you get down to five. I think what the approach is that every election cycle, there's double the number of people that are retired, quote unquote. They're no longer, their term is ended, but there's still openings on the board. And so community members could join, people could get reelected. And over, I think, if we do the math, maybe three cycles or four, we'd be down to five. Just thinking that's an easy way to do it. And we don't feel like there's oligarchs running Kensington.
You know, I would suggest that you look at the CSD law. They're also in the government code, and it's section 61030, to see how that works. It's pretty explicit. I'm not an expert in it because I use LAFCO law. That's what I have to look at on a daily basis. So I would suggest that you look at that closely, because I'm not sure. The goal is to get to five, and I'm not sure how that plays out, but it spells it out in the CSD code. And so it spells out how you get to that number. So I would suggest that you take a look at that.
I have another question for Luann. I think you were alluding to this, Luann, earlier when you asked about the advisory committees. But last year, when you spoke to the community, you strongly recommended that there be a lot of outreach around the issue of, if the districts were to reorganize or consolidate. And so I'm wondering if what your thoughts are for the boards about whether they would have an advisory committee to work on the outreach, or whether that has happened in other communities, and how you get the word out, the education out to the community around the issue.
Right. And, that can come from either the board directly or an advisory committee. But it would be good to somehow poll people to see, you know, how they feel about reorganizing or consolidating. That way you might have a sense of, you know, whether or not people are supportive or whether they would object or protest, or if it did go to a vote, if they would vote against it. So some sort of outreach would be very useful.
Great. I'd like to start to wrap this up. I need to get home to tuck my kids into bed. Got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. Any last questions or comments from the directors?
I had just two hopefully quick ones. One thing that came up when reading about this, I just want to confirm if my understanding is correct. If hypothetically one district wanted to consolidate and the other district did not want to consolidate, my understanding is that a 25% protest vote of the population could sort of overturn the protest of the dissenting agency. Is that correct understanding?
Oh, I'm looking at the flow chart. Now, would this be, did you say dissolution and annexation or consolidation?
Let's just say hypothetically, the CSD wanted to annex the KFPD and the KFPD didn't want that. What happens then?
Well, I was wrong. It's really not on the flow chart. So I'm going to have to, I just want to make sure I'm giving you accurate information. So I'm going to have to get back to you on that. Is this Daniel?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to get back to you on that.
And my last other quick question, hopefully quick, is what's next? What if we want to move forward with this, what happens now? You mentioned getting this financial analysis and you have a short list. Is your recommendation for how you proceed for this is you go get your financial analysis? Is that correct?
Yes, I would recommend doing that first to see if it pencils out. And if it does, then you might want to maybe do some community outreach to see how the residents, the landowners, voters feel about, you know, moving forward with some sort of reorg or consolidation. You know, maybe a community meeting again to talk to your constituents about that. And
okay,
that's it.
You need a joint committee to do this, or do
no, you don't. I mean, it would be probably better, but you don't. There's no requirement.
Okay. And I guess it would be easier to like split costs and whatnot if you did that way.
Right. And again, if both boards adopt substantially similar resolutions applying to LAFCO to do a consolidation or a reorg, then the commission shall approve it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Director Duggan.
Can we do a quick show of hands in the audience who is in favor of consolidation? Who thinks that we should investigate consolidation?
You can also raise your hand on Zoom if you want.
It's just useful to get a feeling from you.
Scientific poll.
You can go. No, on Zoom.
Wouldn't you think that the people that you're just polling should have the information that we're talking about gathering before they raise their hand? Like the fiscal analysis, nobody's done a fiscal analysis. We don't know if this is going to save us a nickel. I don't think it will, but we need to do that fiscal analysis. And I don't think we can say we're in favor or not in favor of the consolidation until we've done our homework.
I think Director Duggan corrected herself and said she just wanted to see a show of hands to see who would be in favor of investigating the topic. And she corrected herself after. But anyway, I think public comment is over. We'd like to move on. I really need to get home to my kids. So any other final questions or comments from the board?
Let me just say something very quickly. I did chair an ad hoc committee that looked into this. If anybody wants to get more detail, they should take a look at that report. I think it does a very good job of summarizing what Luann has told us tonight. And you could get a pretty good picture of what consolidation would look like. And it affirms some of the comments that Daniel has made as well. The auditor, Contra Costa County, said essentially the same thing that Daniel has told you this evening about the property taxes.
Sorry, and I did want to add one thing about public communication going forward, because that was a question. I'm going to prepare a summary report of everything that was discussed tonight, sort of an executive level summary that's like one page for people who don't want to read 40 pages of stuff. And then there'll be details about everything that went after that. And we're going to post that to the kensingtonfire.org/consolidation-information page. So you can see all of that and send it to all of your friends, and they can all send me emails about how they feel about this, which I'm sure they will. So that information will be posted shortly. Bear with me on that.
The ad hoc committee report is on the district's webpage. So you can just query in the search engine ad hoc committee report.
Thank you, Director Lean, for working on that. And thank you, David, for reminding us about that, the ad hoc report. So we've learned a lot. We've need to digest this information as respective boards. I certainly hope our board takes this up on our next board meeting in May. So we all need to just continue educating ourselves, and we will be in touch with the public about further next steps on our respective websites and other forms of communication. But please feel free to contact us all with your individual questions. Our emails are on the website. As well as our general managers. I personally really want to thank Luann again for her time and patience. I know this was a lot. Thank you so much, Luann, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
You're welcome. Thanks for all the great questions.
Thank you.
Okay, so we would like to adjourn this meeting. It is 8:51. Thank you to the public for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sarah and Daniel.